Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from the Free Grace Broadcaster, Winter 2020 edition. This is a quarterly, by the way, that can come to your house free of charge. All you have to do is ask them. Send them an email at chapel@mountzion.org and tell them that you'd like to receive this quarterly. And they'll send it to you free. They may ask for an offering now and then. I don't know. I don't remember them actually doing that. But of course, they would receive an offering. But the big deal is that it's free. If you can't afford anything, just tell them I would like this quarterly. And there'll be a different subject each time. The subject this time is heaven. And each time there will be men of God down through the centuries that have blessed a lot of people who will be writing in this quarterly. It's an excellent booklet. And we've covered Mr. Ryle and Mr. Donnelly and Mr. Helm. Well, we skipped over them because they're still living. And Mr. Spurgeon and Jonathan Edwards and Thomas Brooks and Thomas Reed. We have another Edwards piece today, and we'll close up next time with John Bunyan. Then we'll get back to some other things. So good to have you with us today. Seeking the World of Love, Jonathan Edwards, who lived from 1703 to 1758. I think you know who Jonathan Edwards was. What has been said on this subject of heaven may well awaken and alarm the impenitent. First, by putting them in mind of their misery, in that they have no portion or right in this world of love. You have heard what's been said of heaven, what kind of glory and blessedness is there, and how happy the saints and angels are in that world of perfect love, but consider that none of this belongs to you. And when you hear of such things, you hear of that in which you have no interest, no investment. No such person as you, a wicked hater of God and Christ, and one that is under the power of a spirit of enmity against all that is good, shall ever enter there. Such as you are never belong to the faithful Israel of God, and shall never enter their heavenly rest. It may be said to you, as Peter said to Simon, in Acts 8:21, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And as Nehemiah said to Sanballat and his associates, you have no portion nor right nor memorial in Jerusalem. If such a soul as yours should be admitted into heaven, that world of love, how nauseous would it be to those blessed spirits whose souls are as a flame of love. How would it disturb that loving and blessed society and put everything in confusion? It would make heaven no longer heaven if such souls should be admitted there. It would change it from a world of love to a world of hatred, pride, envy, malice, and revenge, as this world is. But this shall never be. And the only alternative is that such as you shall be shut out with dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whoever loves and makes a lie, Revelation 22:15. That is, with all that is vile, unclean, and unholy. And this subject may well awaken and alarm the impenitent, the unrepentant. Secondly, by showing them that they are in danger of hell, which is a world of hatred. There are three worlds. One is this, which is an intermediate world, a world in which good and evil are so mixed together as to be a sure sign that this world is not to continue forever. Another is heaven, a world of love without any hatred. And the other is hell, a world of hatred where there is no love, which is the world to which all of you who are in a Christless state properly belong. This last is the world where God manifests his displeasure and wrath, as in heaven he manifests his love. Everything in hell is hateful. There's not one solitary object there that is not loathsome and detestable, horrid and hateful. There is no person or thing to be seen there that is amiable or lovely, nothing that is pure, holy, or pleasant, but everything abominable and loathsome. There are no beings there but devils and damned spirits that are like devils. Hell is, as it were, a vast den of poisonous, hissing serpents. The old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and with him all his hateful brood. In that dark world there are none but those whom God hates with a perfect and everlasting hatred. He exercises no love and extends no mercy to any one object there, but pours out upon them horrors without mixture. All things in the wide universe that are hateful shall be gathered together in hell, as in a vast receptacle provided on purpose, that the universe that God has made may be cleansed of its filthiness by casting it all into this great sink of wickedness and woe. It is a world prepared on purpose for the expression of God's wrath. He has made hell for this, and he has no other use for it but there to testify forever his hatred of sin and sinners, where there is no token of love or mercy. There is nothing there but what shews forth a divine indignation and wrath. Every object shows forth wrath. It is a world all overflowed with a deluge of wrath, as it were, with a deluge of liquid fire, so as to be called a lake of fire and brimstone and the second death. There are none in hell but what have been haters of God, and so have procured his wrath and hatred on themselves. And there they shall continue to hate him forever. No love to God will ever be felt in hell. But everyone there perfectly hates him and will continue to hate him. And without any restraint, they will express their hatred to him, blaspheming and raging against him while they gnaw their tongues for pain. And though they all join in their enmity and opposition to God, yet there is no union or friendliness among themselves. They agree in nothing but hatred and the expression of hatred. They hate God, Christ, and angels and saints in heaven. And not only so, but they hate one another, like a company of serpents or vipers, not only spitting out venom against God, but at one another, biting and stinging and tormenting each other. In hell, all those principles will reign and rage that are contrary to love, without any restraining grace to keep them within bounds. Here will be unrestrained pride, malice, envy, revenge, and contention, in all its fury and without end, never knowing peace. The miserable inhabitants will bite and devour one another, as well as be enemies to God, Christ, and holy beings. Those who in their wickedness on earth were companions together and had a sort of carnal friendship one for another will here have no appearance of fellowship, but perfect and continual and undisguised hatred will exist between them. And as on earth they promoted each other's sins, so now in hell they will promote each other's punishment. Now consider, all ye that are out of Christ, that were never born again, and that never had any blessed renovation of your hearts by the Holy Spirit implanting divine love in them, leading you to choose the happiness that consists in holy love as your best and sweetest good, and to spend your life in struggling after holiness, consider your danger and what is before you. For this is the world to which you are condemned. This is the world to which you belong through the sentence of the law, and the world that every day and hour you are in danger of having your abode everlastingly fixed in. This is the world to which, if you repent not, you will soon go, instead of going to that blessed world of love of which you have now heard. Consider, oh, consider that it is indeed thus with you. These things are not cunningly devised fables, But the great and dreadful realities of God's Word, things that in a little while you will know with everlasting certainty are true. How then can you rest in such a state as you are in and go about so carelessly from day to day, so heedless and negligent of your precious immortal souls? Let the consideration of what has been said of heaven stir up all earnestly to seek after it. If heaven be such a blessed world, then let it be our chosen country and the inheritance that we look for and seek. Let us turn our course this way and press on to its possession. It is not impossible that this glorious world may be obtained by us. It is offered to us. Though it be so excellent and blessed a country, yet God stands ready to give us an inheritance there. If it be but the country that we desire, will choose, and diligently seek, God gives us our choice. We may have our inheritance wherever we choose it, and may obtain heaven if we will but seek it by patient continuance in well-doing. Let what we have heard of the land of love stir us all up to turn our faces toward it and bend our course thitherward. Is not what we have heard of the happy state of that country and the many delights that are in it enough to make us thirst after it, to cause us with the greatest earnestness and steadfastness of resolution to press towards it and spend our whole lives in traveling in the way that leads there? What joyful news might it well be to us when we hear of such a world as perfect peace and holy love, and to hear that it is possible, yes, that there is full opportunity for us to come to it and spend an eternity in its joys? Look here for directions on how to seek heaven. Listen, first, let not your heart go after the things of this world as your chief good. Indulge not yourself in the possession of earthly things as though they were to satisfy your soul. This is the reverse of seeking heaven. It is to go in a way contrary to that which leads to the world of love. If you would seek heaven, your affections must be taken off from the pleasures of the world. You must not allow yourself in sensuality, worldliness, the pursuit of the enjoyments or honors of the world, or occupy your thoughts or time in heaping up the dust of the earth. You must mortify the desires of vainglory and become poor in spirit and lowly in heart. Second, you must, in your meditations and holy exercises, be much engaged in conversing with heavenly persons, objects, and enjoyments. You cannot constantly be seeking heaven without having your thoughts much there. Turn then the stream of your thoughts and affections toward that world of love, toward the God of love that dwells there, and toward the saints and angels that are at Christ's right hand. Let your thoughts also be much on the objects and enjoyments of the world of love. Commune much with God and Christ in prayer. Think often of all that is in heaven, of the friends who are there, the praises and worship there, and of all that will make up the blessedness of that world of love. Let your conversation be in heaven. A third, be content to pass through all difficulties in the way to heaven. Though the path is before you, and you may walk in it if you desire, yet it is a way that is ascending and filled with many difficulties and obstacles. That glorious city of light and love is, as it were, on the top of a high hill or mountain. There's no way to it but by upward and exhausting steps. But though the ascent be difficult and the way full of trials, still it is worth your while to meet them all for the sake of coming and dwelling in such a glorious city at last. Be willing, then, to undergo the labor, meet the toil, and overcome the difficulty. What is it all in comparison with the sweet rest that is at your journey's end. Be willing to cross the natural inclination of flesh and blood, which is downward, and press onward and upward to the prize. At every step, it will be easier and easier to ascend. And the higher you ascend, the more will you be cheered by the glorious prospect before you and by a nearer view of that heavenly city where in a little while you shall forever be at rest. And fourth, in all your way, let your eyes be fixed on Jesus, who has gone to heaven as your forerunner. Look to him. Behold his glory in heaven, that a sight of it may stir you up the more earnestly to desire to be there. Look to him in his example. Consider how by patient continuance in well-doing and by patient endurance of great suffering, he went before you to heaven. Look to him as your mediator and trust in the atonement that he has made, entering the holiest of all in the upper temple. Look to him as your intercessor, who forever pleads for you before the throne of God. Look to him as your strength, that by his Spirit he may enable you to press on and overcome every difficulty of the way. Trust in his promises of heaven to those that love and follow him, which he has confirmed by entering heaven as the head, the representative, the savior of his people. And fifth, if you would be in the way through the world of love, or on the way, we say, see that you live a life of love to God and love to men. All of us hope to have part in the world of love hereafter, and therefore we should cherish the spirit of love and live a life of holy love here on earth. This is the way to be like the inhabitants of heaven, who are now confirmed in love forever. Only in this way can you be like them in excellence and loveliness, and like them too in happiness, rest, and joy. By living in love in this world, you may be like them too in sweet and holy peace, and thus have on earth the foretastes of heavenly pleasures and delights. Thus also you may have a sense of the glory of heavenly things, as of God, Christ, and holiness, and your heart will be disposed and opened by holy love to God, and by the spirit of peace and love to men, to a sense of the excellence and sweetness of all that is to be found in heaven. Thus shall the windows of heaven be, as it were, opened, so that its glorious light shall shine in upon your soul. Thus you may have the evidence of your fitness for that blessed world, that you are actually on the way to its possession. And being thus made fit, through grace, for the inheritance of the saints in light, when a few more days shall have passed away, you shall be with them in their blessedness forever. Happy, thrice happy, are those who shall thus be found faithful to the end, and then shall be welcomed to the joy of their Lord. There they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's from Revelation 7:16, and that whole message from a book called Heaven, A World of Love, that's available from this chapel library, by the way. And thank you so much for being here. Lord willing, next time we'll wrap up this quarterly booklet from Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. I hope that you'll want to come and share. We're not going to read the whole book, but there'll be a section there that will be very appropriate to this heavenly theme for this time around. Well, we have the works of other great men of God on this site. I hope you'll be looking around the site when you have time. I have their stories. I have their words. We have North Korea audios. We have North Korea photo updates. Well, not updates. I haven't done much of that lately because things don't change that much in North Korea. I have enough on there, though, to give you a picture that you'll need to pray for North Korea, and I hope that you'll be doing that regularly. Gather some other people with you to pray for North Korea. I don't understand why God has not allowed that to break down yet, but one of these days that regime will tumble, and we're hoping they will look south for their next connection, not north into China, but they will be free to come to the Lord and to for the church of God to build. Although the church is there, for sure, the word is there, but freedom, we all long for freedom. Pray for North Korea. Well, we have a lot of other things on here. I won't go through it all right now. I'm off of the other blog, Cries from Among Us. I've taken that off so that I can put here on Sermon Audio any blog that needs to be written. So you'll be checking here at Sermon Audio on the blog, if you will. And I think you'll find some interesting things there in days to come. And there's more. Men, send me an email and a testimony, and I'll send you by return email an invitation to our Zoom meeting that happens every Saturday night, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time. I think that's enough for this time. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.